Quickly the days that our number pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. The heedless of danger, they're living today. God's love and mercy, they're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievement. The mercies of Jesus, they daily down trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While they warn off the dangers that lie in their path, but they heed not his mercy and they kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily down trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that his kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? The cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily down trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that his kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievement. The mercies of Jesus they daily down trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. On those who so carelessly forgotten their God. God's love and mercy, they're throwing away. See, you and I are right, you know. Mm-hmm. Things we say, they're backed up with Scripture. But people reject it, you know. We send books out, we do things, and they throw them in the fire, or they send them back. That's God's love and mercy. They're throwing it away. They're not doing nothing to us. We just care enough about that we send out an invitation, and then it's what they do with it. That's their business. They're not doing nothing to us. The only thing they're doing to us is going to be very painful at the end of the day. We know, like you and I know, this is the truth. And if you reject that, there's only one place for you to go. And it's not a very good place. Because we're connected to that, source that has eternal life. This is going to be eternal life. God sent 7 angels throughout the grace age. That's what keeps you and I in line. It took us a lifetime to find it. And then once we found it, we know we're right. As we got the Scriptures to prove it. And we turn our faces a flint towards it. Nothing would move us away from that fact that this is the mercy and the grace of God. He sent the prophet. He sent an angel, and that angel found a vocal cord, and then Brother Branham, and then he sent them into America, born on American soil, and he had a meeting with all the churches and denominations back in the day, and then it's all recorded, and then and they rejected him, and then I know exactly what happened, and And God can do nothing. When you reject the word of God, they rejected the word of God just like back in the days of Jeremiah. They rejected Jeremiah and they had to go into captivity. They rejected the prophet to the age, Laodicea, the churches did, and then God had no other option. Satan, here's the key to America. Go out and have a fling at it. And that's what you see in America today. That's what happens when you reject the truth. And when you reject this here truth, go back and read Matthew 22. He'll send out this murderer, these armies, and he'll kill these murderers. That's the day the Lord is coming. And all we're doing, we're putting it out here, there, for whosoever will. Just tap in and then carry on with it. And people, they think it's cool if they can go and slander us and see if they can't do the opposite of what they should be doing. Because we found it. We know we're right. That's why we're putting all our energy and everything that we have and say and do. We're not holding nothing back. All, everything that we ever worked for, all our savings, everything, our time, our money, our finances, everything that we ever did and had, we're putting it all in to get out a warning, and we know we're right. And then there's people that we had on board. What do they do the minute they're out the door? They do exactly the opposite of what they should be doing. They see if they can't slander us and make us look bad behind. Satan gets a hold of them. Because Satan does not want this here truth to get out there. He's working overtime to make sure we're shutting it down. My wife, she spent all her life trying to prove me wrong. My kids, they spend all their energy trying to prove me wrong. Well, I know I'm right. And no matter how many, even the whole world is against us, as it was in the days of Noah. You know, they thought it's cool to go out and make fun of Noah. And the same with Lot, you know, they thought they're doing a cool thing. But at the end of the day, they're the ones that suffer. Noah was okay. He was sitting in that boat, and they were out there screaming their head out, wishing they'd listen. It's the same thing today. We're just warning people. It's not about us, because we don't have nothing. We just have a truth. We know we're right. Everything new, tie everything together with the scriptures. And people, they have a choice. You can either come on board and stand with us and support us and put it out there and tell their friends and neighbors, like the Bible says, whosoever hear it. If you hear us, you have an obligation to go out and tell people. So what if they excommunicate you and if they terrorize you? That's where it's at. That's just the way it works. To be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be identified with the truth for your day. When we found out, God sent a prophet, believe you me, our persecution took on a different level. It just went up a notch or two. And we were ousted from everywhere. That wasn't part of it. Then we moved on from Brother Branham. Then the Branhamites locked me out. Then we moved on from Brother Jackson. Then the Jacksonites locked us out. Because we were trucking together. They thought they had a license. And then to slander us, thinking it's a shaking up program. Who's caring? Who's interested in shaking up? The carnal man is the problem. The natural man, he's a problem. He could go on and on. There's just no end to it. I will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will lean on the everlasting arm. I will rest in the blessed rock of ages. Assured in his shadow, I am safe from harm. I will not lean to my own understanding. I will not trust in man's philosophy. When my world is wrecked by confusion, I'll run to the refuge of my knees. I will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will lean on the everlasting ark. I will rest in the blessed rock of ages. I shall harbor in his shadow. I am safe from harm. He said you will be the light that lights my pathway. Time and time again he has proven true. An ever-present help in my troubled days. Exactly what he said, that's what he'll do. I will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will lean on the everlasting arm. I will rest in the blessed rock of ages. Assured that in his shadow I am safe from harm. He said he will be the light that lights my pathway. Time and time again he has proven true. An ever-present help in my troubled days. Exactly what he said, that's what he'll do. I will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will lean on the everlasting arm. I will rest in the blessed rock of ages. Assured in his shadow, I am safe from harm. Assured in his shadow, I am safe from harm. We have only one life. We've only one run at this. That's why I spent a lot of time, a lot of sleepless nights, trying to find it, trying to find what's wrong in my life. And once I found it, I wasn't going to turn back. No matter what they threw at me, they could take everything away from me simply because I told the truth. Well, that's all right. That's all part of the. That's just the way it works. Mm-hmm. You gotta be ready to lose it all. The devil, he don't like you finding the truth. Mm-hmm. Like I say, we only have one run at this. We only have one life, so we want to be right, and we know we're right. So we're not going into reverse.
That's right.
They can throw at us whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And who are they? These tugs in the pulpits. That's what Jesus said. Deception will be of such magnitude that it would even deceive the very elect. So what's the mechanism that the devil will use to deceive you? These toads in the pulpit, these scorpions, and these false prophets, and these false teachers. That's what the devil will use. And here, especially here in his end time, he's coming down having great wrath because it says, woe unto you that live on the earth in the last days. We're in the last days. We've just got a few more years before Satan is kicked out. And that's where we're at now. Woe unto you, because Satan is coming down having great wrath. That's why you and I, we have to keep hold on for dear life. And we got a lot of enemies. We got a lot of people that would try to shut us up and make us irrelevant. See, the trick of the devil is he's trying to make us irrelevant. He's got these tubs out here lying, thinks about it, telling us it's a checking up program. And know very well that you're not checking up material. They know you. And yet the very thing, the very people that are supposed to continue on with the truth are the very people that go on slander. But see, behind the spirit of Satan, because he's still part of that mechanism to try to make sure people don't find it. Well, we found it, and we're holding on to it, and they don't care if just you and I stand alone. But, there's 600,000 left Egypt. two went into the promised land. And here's the same thing here in these closing days of time. It'll dwindle down. If it dwindles down to just you and me, that's fine. And there's a few people that might listen in on us, but what are they doing about it? That's another thing. Are they stepping up to the podium? Are they stepping up to the plate? Are they willing to be counted? Are they willing to be persecuted? Yeah, we see a lot of things that turn people off, but we tell people the truth. Moosey gave me lead and hand and soul for mine and hands to stay. Kindly, kindly, bring it. Kindly, I see it got a fish shine. That's what I spent many a night. Woke up in the cold sweat. I'm never going to get that outright club, cult, and I'm not doing nothing for Jesus because we had that man come to our house. He just had a dead for 17. I keep repeating it because it's the only thing that's worth repeating. The devil, as soon as he came back, and like that boss one, I told you time and time again, that boss from Forest River Colony, that Joe Mandel, he had a heart attack down in Mitchell, South Dakota, cleaning up an elevator, and then he was dead for 17 minutes. But while he was dead, it's only his body that died. His soul and his spirit didn't die. He just went into the region beyond, and he tried to get into heaven. They wouldn't let him in. Just the grace of God. And he begged and he pleaded. He wanted another chance. He wanted another run at it. Because he'd been deceived. He'd been told that's it. But here he had another, here reality sets in. He realized all his life was a waste of time. He was living in a commune. It's nothing but first-class deception. And he came back and he went around the colonies. He came to our home because he knew my dad pretty good. And he was sitting right in front of me, just 4 or 5 feet away from me. I seen him. I heard him talk. I seen his lips tremble. I seen the agony in his eyes, the fear of having missed it, you know, and he went around and from colony to colony. You know, you think it would be the talk of the town, but the devil was there. He couldn't shut him up fast enough. And once I found his troop that he was looking for, he said to my dad, John, there's something out there. We just got to put our life on the line, go look for it. Well, I did that. I put my life on the line, went looking for it, and I found it. The ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jack, the ministry of that angel. That Laodicea church age angel. That's why we keep going back. Jesus said, this is going to be eternal life. I found that nugget. And once I found it, I tell you, I wasn't quiet about it. That's why we're putting all our resources in. And like I say, I woke up many a night in the cold sweat, realizing I'm living here for 15 years. Once I heard that man speak. For 15 years I was walking around in a daze. No, I'm just wasting my time here, living in a cult, and all I'm doing, I'm working for this commune, and all at the end of the day, all I did was lift up, build up a commune.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For me, like I didn't have to have an out-of-body experience. You know, when you're serious with your salvation and everything, and your eternal, where you're gonna spend eternity. You know, when I was baptized, I knew something wasn't right with that baptism. Like I didn't understand what it was, but I knew something was not right. And growing up, I knew that colony life is not the way to heaven. See, those are the things that when you're concerned about where you're going to be when this life is over, where are you going to spend eternity? When you have that concern and that gut-wrenching seriousness and desperation in you, at the end of the day, you want your life to have mattered and be worth something in the and through the eyes of God, and you can't sit in a system and think that is the way to heaven, when all of the scripture point to the Lord Jesus Christ and not to some religious organization. It points to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I've realized, like I say, I was searching. I knew that was not the answer. I mean, that man came to our house and he told him, he said, nothing. He said, John, we're being deceived. It's not going to get us eternal life. And then it sent me, that's why I say I woke up many a night. Cool sweat, realizing mm-hmm. I'm wasting away here, and at the end of the day, I got nothing mm-hmm. for eternity.
That's right.
And then one day, I just couldn't handle it anymore. I said, Lord, spent all night in prayer. Lord, what do you want me to do? My thy will be done in my life. I'll do whatever it takes. And then 5 o'clock in the morning, the Lord showed up, right? Right beside my bed where I've been spending all night in prayer because I was desperate. I knew my life was just a waste of time. And then he came on the scene and he said, Sam, we got some work to do. I heard you and I'm going to answer you. But before we can put you on this job, one thing you remember, when you do work for me, the first thing they'll do, they'll come and they'll take everything away from you. You don't have a wife, you don't have no children, and you just become a vagabond overnight. And that's exactly a year later, that's exactly what my father-in-law told me when I was standing in the doorway. Tomorrow morning, if you don't recant, I'm coming over here and I'm going to, you don't have a wife, you don't have any children, you don't even have a name. You're just a number. Well, I said, you'll do whatever you want to do, but one thing you remember, I decided to follow Jesus, and I ain't turning back. And the next day he came over, and he got everybody to sign me out of that cult, which was, behind was the Lord of Glory. The Lord had set this all up like that, and eventually it terminated me. And I was not a happy camper, because it's the only life I knew. And, you know the story, you know. But see what the devil does. He tries to hide that. He doesn't want you and me to talk. He wants to cover that up just like he did with that guy from Forest River Colony. Because once I found his truth here, guess what I did? I got in my car and I drove down to see that Joe Mandel, that his son, the preacher. And I talked to that junkie and I told him I found what your dad was looking for. And they didn't want me to talk about it. They didn't even much to say anything. And I was shocked. Here your dad, he's out of body experience. He comes back and he tells you this is not it. And now I found what he would have found if he would have put his life on the line. He would have gone out there looking. And he would have found the very thing that I found. But see, if he's not willing to put your life on the line, well, what good is that? But I heard him say it. And that put me on this course. That put me on this journey. And to this day, that's the only ministry that we have. That's the only job description that you and I have to put it out there. Whosoever will let them come. This is where it's at. We're plugged into the real source. And you know, you could go on and on. And along the road, I had many I touched bit with many people, heartland people down there. I told them where it's at. That's where I got that word thugs. They called these, when they were persecuted from the leadership, from my father-in-law, from that J. Clance Oliver, and from all these preacher thugs. It's just that simple. And then that split came in, and then they decided they're going to get joined back to the thugs again. That's all they are. That's because they split up. It's the same. The root is the same. It's like that tree we got out in the yard here. 15 feet up, it goes into two trees. That's what that number one and number two, that's what that Gibbon oil affection is. They're the same out of the same diabolical satanic root. Doesn't matter if you're a Gibbon or not. They pulled the roots out of Satan. That's the root of it is hell. That's where that whole other thing comes out. I know we're speaking plain, and I know the devil would like to shut us up. But see, if we don't speak, nobody's going to say the things we do. Because we walk right through. The Lord had to take us through their torture chambers. That's why today we can say what we're saying. They're two groups, but they're the same diabolical system. Because how can they be anything other? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the message for your day, the message of the seven stops, the Jesus held in his right hand. Then he went on to explain the seven, John, the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, they are the seven angels to the seven church ages of the grace age. And this is eternal life. If you can get tapped into them and you can listen to what they have to say, it's really these angels using the vocal cords of the Apostle Paul in the first age. Then it went to Irenaeus, and then it went to Martin, and then it went to Columbo, all throughout the crazy. That angel was working, and behind it was God. This is the revelation that God gave to Jesus, the gift to the angel, the gift to all these church age messengers. And now here we are in the last one. It's so simple. It's just a kid could understand it. It's like the song says, a fool, a man though a fool, cannot err therein. It's so simple. And here we're beating the gums together. And what did the devil do? He's trying to make it irrelevant. He tries to make it appear like this is a Shekinah program. Well, who's going to listen to two people when their mind is polluted and corrupted with this is a Shekinah program? Like that Kenneth. He went and told everybody that we're checking up. And he knows very well that you're not checking up with here because he knew you were down there for over a year. And he knows what you're about. He knows very well your only thing, your interest is in spiritual things. And the Lord brought you and I together, and now we're the two of us. And they try to shut us up, but then the only way they could shut it up, make it appear like this is a sexcapade. And then who's going to listen to two people that are involved in a sexcapade? But see, that's what the devil does. And that idiot, that Kenneth, and then he's the one that spread that throughout wherever, you know. And now, knowing full well, it's not true. And see, that's why he's dying. He's laying on the couch. Just laying on the couch. He's pretty much done and over. What did his life merit now that he's just about done? And what good is his life? It's like that song here. Captain Deep and Captain Yar. Nahan Mal Metzurik. He wished those years back. When back in the day when he was traveling with me, all he would have had to do was do what the Lord spoke right into his spirit, right out of heaven. All he would have had to do, go stand with Sam no matter what. Sam is off course. I'm going to take care of things. You just go stand with him. If you don't like what he's saying, well, just stand with him anyway, because at the end of the day, he's going to prove that he's right. On all job description you have, just go stand with Sam. And if he would have done that, guess what he would have done? He would have gone down to that tiny colony, and he would have told him that the Sam is right. And then he would have gone to his Iberville colony, and he would have said, Sam is right. And he would have gone down to those Windy Bay people when they were down in Carver. He would have just simply had to say, Sam is right. And then when the chips are down and people are searching and long, They know they would have, they know that Sam is right, because that Ken would have told them. But what does he do? He does the opposite. Oh, Sam is shacking up with Lorraine. I can't support him anymore. I'm not fellowshipping with him anymore. Completely a 180 degrees from what that Spirit of the Living God told him right out of heaven. And now these guys, they want us to go down and pray for him. Well, you know, we can't. You and I, we can't decide. We could just go up and pray for somebody. The Lord won't let us do it. Like I said, I've tried to, for years. I'd wake up every morning and pray for my dad and pray, see if I can't pray for my father-in-law and for my dad. And the Lord just did. I can't just up and decide I'm going to pray for such and such. Unless I got to go to the Lord, see if the Lord will allow me. Because Paul said, there's people, he said, there's people that you should not pray for because they've crossed the red line. They've just come too far. That even Jeremiah said it. Even back in the days of Jeremiah said, even if Moses and Elijah stood before me to pray for these people, I would not hear them. So when we do what we do before, we go down and pray for someone. We better make sure the Lord moves on us to go pray for them, because God told Elijah, pray that I will shut rain up for 3.5 years. And then Elijah prayed to God that he would stop the rain for 3.5 years. And when the 3.5 years was up, the Lord came to him again. Elijah, pray that I will send rain. And that tells me, that gives me a lesson. If I read the scripture right, that tells me I can't just go down there pray for these guys that completely crossed the red line and did everything that he should do. He was driving with me for 3 years, and he knew very well what I was about. He knew that I wasn't interested in checking up. He knew I was only interested in spiritual things, and yet he goes and like an animal, just goes and tells people. That he not only tells me, he has a certain charisma about him. He can convince people, you know. He can convince people that this is really a shaking up program, and then they believe him. There's a spirit behind the guy, and now this guy wants us to go down and pray for him, and because he's in his last leg of the journey. Well, if the Lord moved on us, we would, but the Lord won't allow us to do that, because here, a few years back, I was down at that. When the hospital, when they were still down at Carmen there, those Windy Bay guys, and that jacket, that guy in that wheelchair, he said, I went down to see Kenneth yesterday. He's not doing too good. Maybe you should go down there and visit him. And he said, I spent 2-3 hours with him, and he's not very good. He told me I should go down there and visit him. And he almost had me convinced to do that. And so I was driving along the road, and the Lord came on the scene and said, Sam, we did send him an olive branch, because about 6 months prior to that, the Lord told me to send him an email. I said, Kenneth, because I couldn't stand him going on to spend 1,000 years in hell and then get thrown into that lake of fire. And I knew that's where he's going with the damage that he's done. So I guess the Lord saw my concern, and he said, the Lord told me to send him an olive branch. Go back. He has 3 things that the Lord told me to tell him to need to do. Go back to those Carbon guys, those Hispa, and tell them that he lied to them. That there's another shaking up program. There's 3 things. I'm not going to get into the other one, but 3 very important things. And I sent them a letter, and then they told them that's what you need to do to keep you out of hell, at least. I don't think he ever did, because these people are still convinced that this is a shaking up program. And now people, they want us to go down there and pray for him. Well, a little bit too late, and he's going to be lamenting. Captain D. Verloren Jahren, nur noch einmal mehr zurück, für den Heiland recht zu wirken, wäre dann mein ganzes Glück. He had this opportunity. It was so simple. God knew he doesn't have it in his DNA to, he's rotten to the core, wicked and evil, but he, that's why he gave him such a simple process. Just go stand with Sam and everything will be all right. God knew he was, and now, if we, let's say, the Lord would heal him, he'll do exactly what the Lord told me about my father-in-law. If I heal him, he'll do the same thing all over again. And that's what that Kenneth would do. If we would go down there, pray for him, and the Lord would heal, he would do the same thing all over again, stab you in the back on the way out. And that's about as simple as I can put it, you know. It's just the nature of the beast. It's in their DNA, if you know what I'm trying to say. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this another day of life. We just pray, Lord, you're just contented to use us for your glory. Lord, I pray you'll help us to make sure that our life is not a life of vanity, a life of that we don't have a reward when we get over on the other side, that we don't have a wasted life, that it'll help us to take opportunity of every chance that we get, Lord. And just pray you to continue to use us for your honor and for your glory, Lord. Do it as you see fit, because here in this closing of the time, Lord, we don't have a program. We don't have an agenda, because the times are too treacherous to go out there and do my own thing, Lord. So we just pray you'll inspire us, anoint us, open the hearts of the people, that they'll be able to see how serious an hour we're living in. We only have a few more years before Satan is locked up, and in between now and then, there's going to be a rapture. If people are not ready, they're going to have to just suffer the consequences. All we're trying to do, Lord, we're just trying our level best to wake people up. And if it hits a heart somewhere, so be it. If not, they'll just have to suffer the consequences. Lord, we're doing everything we know to do. We do a lot more, Lord, if we could, but we can't do nothing unless you direct us, unless you inspire us, unless you show us exactly what we need to do, Lord. We're not interested and doing our own thing. We're only one thing we want to do. We want to be led and guided by the end of your eyes, Lord. We just pray you give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, this is serious stuff. This is a very serious hour. We didn't, ever since the Lord saved me back in 1971, I was concerned about my eternal destiny. I spent a lot of time in prayer knowing there's something out there. I knew I didn't have it. And it wasn't until that man came to our house. He just confirmed what I already knew in my heart to be true. And then that put me on a search. I kept spending many nights in prayer. Praying, Lord, where is it at? What's that guy talking about? What's out there that he said there's something out there? And it's a ministry of that angel. Is exactly what I keep saying over and over again. It's the ministry of that angel, that church angel, Laodicea angel. Anything outside of that will take you out to hell at that, whether you like it or not. You're not gonna make it. You gotta be plugged in. It's like that electric cord over there. You could, and if that plug doesn't have any power, you could plug in, you could buy $1 million worth of equipment. If there's no power in that plug, then it's all to no avail. The same thing here. If you're not plugged into the real source through that angel of the church, age of Laodicea, if you're not plugged into that source, and that source is the ministry of Brother Branham, and then he died, and then it was the ministry of Brother Jackson, and then he died, and now it's exactly what you and I are putting out there on a day-to-day basis, because it's an hour take. It's the Spirit of the living God that has promoted us, that has led us and guided us and prepared us for this hour of time we're living in, and all we're doing now, we're putting it out there. And if you're not plugged into that, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss that rapture. It's all about that rapture. The final chapter is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's our job description. That's the only job description we have. And the Lord knew our makeup. And you know we're not going to be compromising, no matter what they throw at us, no matter how many devils in hell try to divert us and try to make us irrelevant. It's still the truth. The truth of the day, the truth of the matter is that that's the prophet. And then is it Malachi for a prophet? I don't know how plain you can talk. And we, like I say, I've had many people along the road alive that would follow me for a little bit, and not following me, they follow the truth, and they know it's the truth, and they would, and then what they do, the minute they're out the door, they do the opposite. They make a 180 degrees and slander it, like that Jeremy. He was convinced, he knew that we're right. He left here with the hope and the impression that he's going to go back home, and he's going to tell him exactly what happened to him here. He got that demon cast out of him, and he's barely out the door. He makes a 180 degrees, and instead of going down there and telling him what happened, he tried to make a name for himself. And then 2 months later, I met him. I said, are you doing what the Lord told you to do when you were over at did you go out and tell the people that you went over to Sam and Lorraine's place and they cast that devil out? And did you tell that to your friends and the people that you know? No, I don't think I can do that. All of a sudden, he can't do it because the devil got back into him again. Like I say, he was barely out the door, and he said, I don't need them suckers. Well, do it your way then. See how far you're going to get. See, we can't do nothing on our own. You got to be plugged into the source, and you got to find out what does God have for you. Same with that Randy. The only job description he had is go tell your siblings about this truth. Not to this day he hasn't done that yet. That was for 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Well, the problem is with a lot of people, they're full of themselves. Yeah. They're so full of their own ideologies that they just cannot let God lead them, you know. It's just because their own egos and their own, you know, they wanting to be important.
Mm-hmm.
And they really want to make a name for themselves, and they just can't submit themselves to the will of God and do what God wants them to do. Like, it seems such an easy task to go stand with Sam, you know. But I guess in a lot of people's eyes, there's no glory in for them. You know, so they do the next best thing to see if they can justify not doing that. So mm-hmm. they will automatically try to find things on a person that will give them that right to not stand with you or do other things. Like Randy, like he is so full of his garbage. Like, you cannot even, like, if you know a garbage dump, like you, when you go to Winnipeg there and you go around the perimeter there, there is the garbage dump of Winnipeg. And when you go past there and the wind is going in the direction, you will smell that garbage dump. And you know this is the dump of Winnipeg. There is no doubt there. And that's the way Randy is with his ideas. It is the biggest dump and it stinks for miles. With his ideas of a flat earth, haven't been to the moon. If you believe that the earth is round, you're demon possessed. This is all such a garbage dump. You cannot even begin to come into his brain because all of that clutter and that dump is there, and you can't even begin to unravel all those ideologies that he has. And it's such a sad state of affairs when God cannot even start to work in a person's life and start to deal with a person and to get rid of all these things that people have. You know, like, if you can't yield yourself to God and the word of God starts washing you from all the filth and all the things that the natural man has, you know, that's such a sad picture when a person doesn't let God do that, you know. And it's people are consumed with that. Like, you look at that Joni. I was listening to her yesterday, that Joni Tates that's been in the wheelchair for years. And she was thinking that, you know, God should heal her, you know, and she tried to do everything right according to what she thought was right in the eyes of God, and then that somehow God would heal her. But, you know, sometimes God just doesn't heal because, you know, in the end, that person is going to be taken down to destruction, just like it says. Like if your one hand offends you, you cut it off. It's just so that you don't go down to hell. Mm-hmm. You'd rather go into heaven maimed then, you know, into the kingdom than to go down to hell. And that's the case with a lot of people, you know. God cannot move and heal them because their end would meet them into this destruction.
It's all about self-glorification. Mm-hmm. That Joan in that wheelchair, she gets a lot of glory out of it, gets a lot of attention, a lot of people all around the world praying for her and all that, wishing to get healed. But there's something in her own life. After a while, you get to enjoy that attention,
right,
and that self-glorification. And I can see that.
And people don't want to give that up. And if you don't want to give that up, God cannot come in with healing.
There is absolutely nothing in a human being that has any value. We're all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We come into this world just like a piece of filth. And it's all that the human being, and all the thing he can do is cry out to the Lord, come to the end of himself, Lord, here I am, use me for your glory, thy will be done. And that's the only thing that you and I can do in our lives. Anything other than that, it'll take you out to hell of that. The human nature is just putrid, just sick, right from the top to the bottom, there's nothing there. The only thing God had mercy on us. You want to go find out about God, go read over in Ezekiel. I think it's somewhere over in Ezekiel where he saw this new bird laying out there, and nobody could help him. The Lord had mercy on that new bird, and he said, I'm going to heal, I'm going to help you, I'm going to soak you with water, I'm going to clean you up. But that's the human race. They're rotten to the core. There's nothing of any value. People, they get up in the morning and all they can think about, how can I make myself important? How can I be this big Nimrod, this big guy on the block? How can I put interest? And you could see them all around the world. They start up and When they start up this business, and then they're not settled. Then they start up a church, and they try to make a name for themselves. All it is a pile of dunk. It's not even worth mentioning. And that's what happens with the human race. That's why you see all these groups everywhere. Right? Yep. Somewhere behind there's a spirit. There's a man with ambition. And I don't care that Dave Waller down there, he just had a pipe dream that someday he wants to be this guy that has this big radio ministry, and once he gets this going, he wants this big TV ministry. What does it do? And the COVID came in and took him away. That's what happened when people had spent a lot of their whole life daydreaming what they would become. Now, I've seen it in people. They even break out in a cold sweat because they want to be this important guy on the block. They want to be this Nimrod. They want this highfalutin job. They want to become a hutterite preacher. They want to become an elder. That's all a diabolical, satanic ambition that you have to take to Calvary, crucified, I think, because it's a natural man. It's just a Nimrod. Nimrod, one day, he had a pipe dream, and then he wanted to get everybody to work for him, and then he decided, let's go, let's make a name for ourselves, and let's build this big tower. It all collapsed. He didn't last very long. He only lasted 300 years, then he was dead. Everybody else lived almost 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. But see, that human nature. Oh, man, that's big. That's important. We're this important guy in the block. I tell you, when you work for the Lord, I tell you, you won't be very important. When he wants to use you for his glory, he'll make sure you'll never, in the eyes of people, you're never looked up to.
Uh-huh. And people think they can just push God around and, you know, do whatever they think they can do, but they don't realize in a very good way. This is a good example that not even Brother Brenham could move the heart of God when it came to his wife and his daughter. Because in his life, God had a certain pathway planned for him, and he wanted him to go along with these people, these Jesus people only, and what his mother-in-law named as holy rollers people. And he listened to his mother-in-law because she called it trash. And then he didn't go that direction that the Lord wanted him to go. And then later on, there was a flood up there because of the Ohio River and in Indiana there. And then his wife got sick, and his daughter, and they were in the hospital, and his wife She told him, you know where we went wrong? We should have never listened to Mama. We should have never listened to him. We should have gone and be identified with these people, these holy roller people. And he had recognized his mistake as well. But it was already a signed deal. It was done with and over with. And because of that, the consequences of it was he lost his wife and he lost his daughter. Like, he prayed that God would heal his daughter and deliver him, like, and everything. But he saw and he looked up and he saw a black sheet unfolding and coming down. And he knew that God is going to take her. And the same way with King Solomon, King David. When he had this relationship with this Bathsheba, and then they had a son, and God took that son away. And you see the consequences of actions. People don't realize that there is a consequences, and God cannot turn back the clock and change these things. They have to run its course. The same way with Israel. When Manasseh brought Israel to a height of sin, God could no longer turn back the clock. It was heading to captivity. They went into captivity for 70 years, and God was not going to change his mind, because it had reached a point where God can no longer look at it, and it's going to have to run that course. And people don't realize that they, like, there is a lot of people who wanted to change the 70 years that were prophesied. And Jeremiah prophesied 70 years they'll go into captivity. There were false prophets coming along and say it's not going to be 70 years, but they were not going to change the word of God. The word of the Lord had spoken. It's going to be 70 years, and it was 70 years to the day. And then when Cyrus came along, he made a decree that they can go now back. And they had to run its course. No amount of praying would have changed it. It's just the way it is. When man goes against the will of God, there are consequences that follow. Just like America, there's no way you can change back the clock to in the 60s when the America and the church world made a decision that they're going to reject God's message, to go back to the Bible. The result of the America that you see now, the animosity, the evil, the hatred, the wickedness that you see. When you go on the news, there's killing every day, and such stupid killings. A husband killing his family and things like that, that, you know, it's just so demonic. But that's what happened when America rejected the prophet. The demonic was able to take over, and that's what you see. You can't change that until that cleansing will come and America will be cleaned up. These things have to run their course. It's just the way it is.
It's the same thing with the Hutterites. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I put my life on the line to warn them. Once I found out that God sent the prophet, I was in their kangaroo court. I told them exactly. And what did they do? They rejected. You're out of here. You got till sundown to get out of here. They completely closed off. They brought that old Hutterite nation into judgment. That's actually what they're doing. Now, a little bit too late. Mm-hmm. Too little too late. How if they wanted, I don't know what they're going to have to go through. I guess exactly what happened over in Matthew 22 when they rejected the truth. When they rejected the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, guess what? I can't see no other scripture than exactly what the Bible says. He'll send then his army, and he's going to kill these murderers, and he's going to burn down their cities. It's just that simple. I can't change the word of God. Once I saw this here true, I put my face as a flint, and I'm working overtime, trying to warn people on a day-to-day basis. Everything I have, everything I know to do, I do it. I would do a lot more, but then I'd be out of the will of God. I'd go down there and pray for that Ken-like, but I'd be out of the will of God. I'd be doing my own thing. I'd be working on my emotions, because he's crossed the line somewhere. Now he's pretty much done, last I heard. And nothing I can do for him. Like I said, here a few years ago, the Lord saw that my desire was, he said, It's a horrible thing to have to go to hell for 1,000 years. That after the 1,000 years are up, that hell and that, they're going to get cast into that lake of fire. And that lake of fire, you're going to be destroyed. That you're going to, your soul is destroyed in that lake of fire, and you cease to exist. There's no more remembrance of you. And that's the direction he's headed, because he, look at all the good he could have done. What did he do? He does exactly the opposite, and now he's pretty much in his last leg of the journey, wishing exactly what that guy here in the song said. I wish I could repay it. I wish I could go back and redo it. And but it's too little too late. We need to take a warning on that. There comes a time when there is something that you and I can do, and then if you pass that by, well, a little bit too little too late. And that's what motivates my life. That's why I'm putting everything in I know to do, because I'm more up the road. You'd be wishing you had. We're making sure every opportunity that we can, we go anywhere where the Lord leads us. Do we go to the ends of the earth? If there's only one soul somewhere that has a hunger and a thirst, we would be right there the next day. And it doesn't matter where it is. We just do whatever the Lord wants us to do. And right now, I'd say he wants us to put these truths out here on a day-to-day basis. That's why we call it. It's a daily bread, you know. It's our daily bread. That's our daily job. And someday it'll be the last one. It'll be the last daily bread we'll put out there, because our job will be done. But in the meantime, we got to do what we got to do, because we don't want to waste our life. We don't want to come up empty-handed at the end of the day, like this guy here that just wasted away, and then he was lamenting at the end of his day that because he didn't do nothing like that. I keep telling you about that guy here in Sunnyside at MoMA. He's 2 weeks from dying. Oh, he's lamenting. And he's telling his boys, don't be like I did. That didn't do nothing for Jesus. Now I'm going over into the eternal age. I'm going into the regions beyond, and I didn't do a thing for the Lord. And that's... And I heard these things, and it motivated me to do something about it before it's too late. That's the only thing. That's what keeps us going here. And people can slander us. They can do whatever they want. But they're not doing nothing to us. This is just a matter of the fact. We're just keeping on. That's just that simple.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, and we give you thanks, Lord. And we just wanted to make it abundantly clear, Lord, that we can't just go out and do our own thing, Lord. It has to be inspired by you. And if you don't inspire it, then it's going to not bring fruit. And there's consequences to actions, Lord. And then people have to realize that. And they need a fear of God in their lives, Lord, to know that there are certain things that they need to be careful about and not speak against, Lord, because if they don't realize what you're speaking against, they can be speaking against the Holy Spirit. And we just pray, Lord, that you would instill a fear of you in them, Lord, that they will not speak on things that are that they should not speak against, Lord. So we just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.